And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Plus minus.
Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit there.
Plus minus.
Curry driving again. God! Are you kidding me?
Tell Marcus that he asked that question about my defense. You hear that, Marcus?
Anthony, you know me well, buddy. Y'all have a great night. I think you got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
Hello and welcome to a late night edition of the Warriors Plus Minus Podcast, Denver edition, for me, Marcus Thompson, Tim Kawakami. Warriors got to the end of what felt like kind of a demarcation point in their early season. I mean, they were talking about it post-game, but right, we knew coming in 7-9 on the road to start the season. This Denver game to me was a blinking light of like blowout city, rest city potentially. And even coming into the game, no Draymond, obviously, for personal reasons, no Gary Payton because of illness. I kind of thought it was leaning blowout. In the first quarter. They lose the game, but I would say a pretty good sign for this team, like how it went down.
Very good sign. You know, Steph's minus nine. Steph minus nine on the road usually means they lose by 15 or 20. And Steph's minus nine played fine. It's just, you know, the starters didn't play great. I don't think Denver played great. Defending champion without Jamal Murray, that's a pretty important thing. I don't think they were really crisp, but you got to give the Warriors credit for making them not play real crisp. And it was that bench. You know, that bench group is plus six, right? Plus six non-Curry minutes. That's together with Steph's incredible start is the story of these nine games. And to get out of it 6-3 with a close loss at Denver at the end when everyone was dragging. And Slater, you're dragging. I can tell you're dragging.
I'm dragging.
This was a good start for the Warriors. This was a good game, good showing. Get some rest. And then if they keep this going, they're going to have a pretty good season. I'm pretty convinced of it.
I thought it was going to be a blowout. It just felt like it. Steph didn't score in the first quarter. The Warriors are just off ball. And, you know, they're overplaying. Denver's loaded. They've got that glow. They've got that championship glow about them where everybody plays well.
Aaron Gordon has that championship glow, right? He's gotten a lot better.
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
And Pope was, I mean, Pope was yeah, has always been good.
Yeah, he was solid. Yeah, he was
two-time champ. Two-time champ. Yeah.
Reggie about Jackson. That second unit. I mean, again, Jamal Murray changes things, but I don't know about that second unit. I wasn't enthralled with, you know, their rookies playing. You know, they're going to get better.
The Warriors, though, right? It's like the Warriors how they used to be. It's just survive the non-Jokic minutes.
Yes.
And because your starters are so much better than everybody else. That just was a game that you just felt like they was kicking the ball around. They weren't making shots. Like, man, pack this up and go and get on out of there. I thought it was a pretty impressive performance, especially being able to throw Trace out there. And I felt like Kuminga found something, and maybe even Wiggins too towards the end there. It felt like I know they don't like moral victories, but it definitely felt like a moral victory.
Yeah, there was a moment in the mid-fourth. It was obviously a close game. Kuminga had just got the lob. Remember in that downhill 4-on-3 play worked like five straight times. Michael Malone was just stomping on the sidelines because it was working. But Kuminga gets the lob. Dario Saric had gone to the scorer's table to go in for Kuminga. And I was like, yeah, I'm not sure about that sub. Atkinson comes up to Steve Kerr. They decide to pull Saric back. And I was like, okay, you know, going to close with Kuminga tonight. But then he did go to Saric.
Kuminga was shooting free throws too, so they couldn't take him out, right?
Yeah, but there was a moment where they literally told Dario, not now. But then about a minute later, they finally did it. And I don't know. I mean, I get it, but I thought tonight might have been, you know, try out one of the new, you know, if it's Moody or Kuminga. I thought one of those two should have kind of got a shot tonight, had earned one.
I thought Kuminga played well. I mean, he didn't shoot well, but he hit a big one, right? He hit a big kind of mid-range, had the confidence to take it, hit his free throws, was, you know, under control. He was helping out, you know, on the digs at Jokic and was guarding his own guy. When he was guarding somebody, they didn't want to dribble the ball up. And that just that pull, you know, they needed it with no Draymond, no GP2. They needed Kuminga to play well. They needed Moody to play well too, and I thought he did. And they needed, you know, Pajemski to give him the minutes that he did. They needed, you know, obviously Jackson Davis. But I thought Kuminga was really important. Like, just see you be good in this stage when maybe the rest of the team's dragging. I thought there were some dragging Warriors. I thought CP3, you know, he made some buckets at the end, but I thought he was dragging. Clay might have been dragging a little bit too. You understand it. But they really, in that case, they needed Kuminga to have energy, to be under control, to be poised. And I thought he was there. And that could turn into a lot of good things for him down the road. Just that Kerr can count on him. Like, this, just go do it. Be there for me for 18 minutes, whatever it was.
It was 19. And I 19, just, yeah, I thought it probably should have been 25 tonight.
Yeah, could see that. They wanted to play Saric. I don't think Saric was great, right? I mean, didn't
minus
hit a shot.
Saric is, yeah, minus 12 and 26. Yeah,
didn't make a shot. You know, got some rebounds. You know, he's not going to be able to defend Jokic, but he was okay. I think you're going to see Kuminga and Trayce Jackson-Davis get some of those minutes, though. You can just see it happening with Trayce Jackson-Davis for sure. You can just see him growing into this. He's a backup center. He feels like a backup center, maybe not right away, but he feels like this guy's going to be the Warriors' backup center at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think right away should be almost. You know, it's crowded, right? When Draymond, when everybody's healthy,
he doesn't shoot the three. That's like, you know, Kerr's always gonna, if the center can shoot the three, he's gonna want to throw him out there because he might hit three of them. And
I mean, I don't know if he can't. You see his free throws? He was drilling them things.
He was. He was 1 for 6 last game on our rhythm floor, and he was 5 of 6. Yeah. You know, looking great at it. He's got great hands. He can move. That catch, you know, at the 30 feet out that Jokic was trying to steal, and he spins and he takes 2 dribbles in and lays it up. That was nice. I was just trying to think, what Warriors center other than Draymond, if you count him as a center, could have ever done that? I can't think of any. What Warriors center could have done that? Any center, not just a rookie.
Zaza Pachulia.
Damian Jones going to do that one? Boogie Cousins could have done that. That might be the only.
He's smart and he's polished too. I mean, we know this, but just talking to him, you know, afterwards about facing Jokic and some of the tricks that Jokic was using. He was even talking about how, you know, the spinoffs he used to use in college. But yeah, he's in there in the locker room after the game with Looney, kind of talking strategy, right? You know, kind of a debrief session, and it's just 23-year-old rookie, yep. You know. There are downfalls to drafting 23-year-olds, which usually comes on the backside, right? But there are benefits, and this team is reaping a benefit, which is, I agree, I think they found a very capable big, which is what, you know, everyone has been clamoring for. They needed an extra big. I just think they've found one, really, like a pretty reliable one. I like the lineups, like with him and Saric is actually not bad, where Saric is the 4. It's kind of working.
So, he's got good hands. That's so important. You know, we've seen Azili come through bad hands. We've seen Wiseman come through bad hands. You know, some other guy, Looney hands are pretty good, not great. You see this guy just clamp everything, and it just makes all the difference in traffic. You know, they're throwing those little dump passes. It's not a fumble and out of bounds. It's a catch it, go up, and either get fouled or make the bucket. That's like 6 extra points a game that Warrior centers have not been able to convert in the past. And we'll see if he expands his game from there, see if he has a jump shot. But the free throw looks good, so maybe he will have a jump shot at some point.
You know what play Pajemski was quite proud of post-game? The touchdown pass to Trayce over Jokic. It turned into a foul. Marcus, you see this play?
I don't remember that one.
It was
in transition.
That was what, early, right? Jokic fouled him.
Jokic fouled him. There was even like, could that have been a flagrant?
Pajemski threw that pass?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a it was like kind of a lefty, like almost a touchdown pass over the top, perfectly laid in. But you know
what? I think ESPN, I was watching ESPN, I hate to say it, and that might not have shown that one because I don't remember that. They were doing a lot of these in-game interviews. They're doing a lot of in-game interview stuff that I didn't see a lot.
ESPN did not replay Steph's layup, that the controversial go-to. They didn't replay it.
They did it late. They did it way late. Yeah, way late.
That was definitely.
No, they didn't. Our wild and everything. They did not replay.
I saw it real. It was like 2 minutes later. They did finally. Like it was like commercial break. Come back. They showed another play, and then they showed that one, and it was definitely a good goaltend. So, that was bad. That was really bad. And that's what I say. Like they lost 2 points there. Clay missed three free throws in a row. I can't remember when that happened. Steph missed a free throw, and they almost win this game. It's pretty amazing. Like you just count all these things. This would normally be blowout loss, understandable. Write it off. Go win at home. And what, they got six straight at home coming in, I think.
Six straight, eight,
and
eight
some and time off. Right, there's time off in between some of these games. Like this is going to be a time to kind of recalibrate and you know get some guys some practice time, get some other guys some rest, but all these weird things happen and they still almost won this game. And you know, if Clay catches that pass from Chris Paul, he's got an open look from 35 feet, but an open look, he could have won the game. Like I thought Clay was going to catch that and win the game.
I thought that was a great pass and read by Chris.
He did it so fast. I think he did it maybe a little too fast.
Surprise,
but Clay, it was great. I mean, Clay could have taken one dribble, caught it, taken one dribble, and had it on the right side. I mean, that could have been ball game right there. So you know what? He made a game winner against the Kings, and this one didn't happen. You know, it happens. But MT,
it was kind of slapstick how it didn't happen too. Like it was
weird. The ball like flipping right out of his hand.
He was hurt by it too, by the way. He went right over to the stanchion and was like, just like buried in it for about 20 seconds.
He saw it, man.
And then he was walking.
He saw the glory. He's like, I'm about to hit this.
You know who came over and like needed to console him? Corey Joseph.
Well, yeah. He's been there. He's been there. The little big moments like Corey Joseph. Yeah. MT, I got to ask you, at the end there, like four of the last five possessions, you know, had you noticed Chris Paul dribbling that ball in the Warriors needing a bucket? And where was Steph Curry?
Not with the ball in his hands.
He was like, I didn't even see him. He was just stuck in the middle of the lane. I don't know what was going on there.
I don't think that's a good team.
I thought, yeah, well, you know what? MT's right. Get the ball in Steph's hands. Like the first time I felt that this season.
It actually could have been a non-closing night for Chris Paul.
I thought it was going to be.
I thought it was. He came in late.
With like 2 minutes left or something.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I thought it was going to be that. That's not a good team to play Steph off the ball. They're too big. They're super athletic, and they know how to play it. Like they've gotten enough experience.
Well, their coach is over there. It's just a psycho. Like yeah, right here.
Yeah, I like Mike. I knew him when he was assistant here. So he can be.
And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that like, they're on it. Yep. You know what I mean?
He just got stuck. Like there were times like, where did Steph go? I can't even see him because he was like Aaron Gordon over there, Jokic over here. Like Steph's gone. He's invisible. And Chris Paul's having to weave through traffic and throw up a tough shot.
Why not just go pick and roll every time down? It was working like crazy.
Yes, I don't quite know what happened there. I don't know.
And Jokic was looking gas. He missed those two free throws. Like, man, I'll put him in a pick and roll every single time down.
Yeah.
But, you know, Steve is probably like, I'm saving that for the Western Conference Finals.
I think he wants to build some late-game chemistry with Chris Paul. Like, I just think he wants Paul to feel like you're our late-game guy. You direct us. You set it up. There you got Steph over there, Clay over there. And it's just perfect. And it's been okay, right?
It's been working. They've been good at
it. Yeah, it's been working. It hasn't quite been Chris Paul feeding Steph and Clay at the end. It's been other things. But it's good that he's out there. This is one time you went, maybe not against this team in this situation, but that's okay. You know, they still had a chance to win it. Steph still had the ball, you know, with his chance. I was surprised he didn't take a three there at the end. I get it. Like, you know, maybe Caldwell Pope
was crazy. Surprise. He didn't force a three right there.
Caldwell Pope was not going to give it to him. Maybe he didn't want the screen. He just wanted him an ISO. He had a shot at it, missed the lefty. I'm just surprised.
He was happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a bad shot.
It's a smart play. It's just wild. And
and nine out of 10 other situations, Steph's taking a three. When you if they didn't need a three, he was taking a three.
One point down, he takes a three.
They're trying to be different this year, Marcus. They don't want you coming on the pod like last year, yelling like, "Why are they just jacking?"
It was.
He got to like kind of the mid range.
If he gets there, take a pull up. But this was the time where you do it, where you go for the win.
Yeah, I know. You make it with 8 seconds left. They call timeout. I guess they didn't have a timeout, but the 8 seconds left, and they get a chance to beat you, or you go in overtime and you make yourself even more tired.
That's the time. This was the perfect setup to go for the three. Like, it was like, hey, you're at the end of the street. Hey, man, you either go home with a tough loss or you win it. Well, Steph was like, five more minutes.
Yeah, let me tell you, as somebody up in press row, like wobbling, I was like, please, no OT. Well, the 8 p.m. tip, too, local. Yeah. It's midnight right now. I mean, it's 12:02 here. They just got out of here at like 11:30. They're not getting up till like 3, I think.
OT was not necessary in this game. A close loss is actually better than a OT game, I think. You go OT and you lose, right? I mean, this was acceptable, fine. 6-3.
This is a schedule loss.
Absolutely. 6-3. You feel good about your second unit. And I mean, you know, there are going to be games that Curry misses. There's going to be games that CP3 misses. There's going to be, you know, Draymond's already missing game, you know, has missed games. And Clay's going to, like, you want to see if Pajemski, Trace Jackson Davis, and Kuminga and Moody, like, can they play? Yes, they can. You can up their minutes. I don't think it would be a disaster at all to see those guys play 20, 25 minutes. I can see Kuminga playing 35 minutes, Moody playing 35 minutes. Like, this is kind of what the first nine games have shown us under some amount of pressure, that they've got a lineup that can go deep and they've got some other guys they could play, right? I mean, you know, they can play Corey Joseph. I don't know how great, but they could play him. They could play some of these guys.
I've just basically been told Corey Joseph will be the backup point guard on nights that either Steph or Chris Paul misses.
I mean, this is a team that you can throw. I mean, when we saw Kuminga playing the minutes and we saw Trace Jackson Davis playing the minutes, those would have been taken by Jamichael Green and Anthony Lamb last season. And this is better. This is just better. And
you see, Steph stopped himself in an answer when he was about to refer to last season tonight. He's like, nope. I'm told myself I'm not doing it. Steve has laid down the gauntlet. Stop.
Let's see if Draymond can hold to that. Let's see if Draymond can do
that. That's going to be a little tougher.
And you know what? Steve's going to do it himself at some point, and I'm going to call him on it. I'm going to say, you said you can't talk about it. Because it is, exactly. It's huge. It's just, it's the difference in this team, and it's worth talking about, even if, you know, maybe they don't want it.
Oh, yeah, it's for sure.
Totally
for
difference sure. in this team. And Steph's pretty good. That part of it is pretty good. He made at least 4 threes in every single game this season. I wonder how long he can go with this. It's just crazy. It is an NBA record. It's just amazing. It's just crazy. The way he's shooting these threes is unbelievable.
He needs more shots.
Yeah.
Out of all that, with great 3-point shooting, 6-13 tonight, they lost because they took some three guys, took threes, and didn't come close to hitting them.
Yep.
Wiggins, Chris Paul. Who's the other one I miss?
Clay missed one. Clay. Right? Yeah.
Clay was 2 of 8. Sarge was 0 of 3 also.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's talk Wiggins. He's now, you mentioned the missed threes. He's now 3 of 20 from three through 9 games. He's, you know, in like the 55-ish percentile on free throws. You know, he has 1 steal in 9 games, which is, I mean, he's a 1 steal per game career guy. So to me, that kind of shows a little bit on the activity level. His rebounds have kind of ticked up lately. I think that's where you see him trying to generate a rhythm, the tap out offensive rebounds. Like, there's a little bit more burst. He tried to put back dunk today. He just can't finish anything around the rim right now. To me, he's obviously buried in kind of a slump right now. And it doesn't feel 1 or 2 games from a bust out. It feels like he's really having to dig himself, you know, out of this. But maybe you could say tonight was a slight, you know, he finishes 4-13, but they gave him more crunch
time.
They had
to. There's no GP2, right? They had to. Like,
yeah,
there was the,
yeah.
You know, I guess you could have played Kuminga over him, but I don't think they're going to do that. Yeah, I thought it was a little bit better, but he's just having trouble with the ball. Like, he gets the ball on the post and it flips out of his hands. It just feels like he's like doesn't have a sense for it right now. It's hard. And my question would be, okay, if you're the Warriors, do you want him to try to shoot himself out of it? Or do you maybe say, you know what? Don't shoot. It's okay. Like, we're okay if you don't shoot that much. If you're 2 feet away, shoot it. Everything, you know, that little wing three, don't shoot that anymore. You can't make it right now. What if you're MT, if you're the Warriors, what do you want from Wiggins?
The problem is they need him to shoot it, especially against teams like, you know, Denver, the way they were playing Steph, where it's just deny, deny, deny.
Lakers,
yeah, another team. It's like you need somebody else to create the shot. And I know Warriors fans hate it when I said it. Sorry, on social media today. That's what Jordan Poole did. That's what he's good for. Like, all right, y'all want to play that way? Yeah. I got the guy. I'm one-on-one with somebody. I'm going to the hole. Now,
and by the way, I had many, many successful nights, particularly during this.
No, you can't bring that up. Not Warriors fans. You got to only bring up turnover.
Remember against this Nuggets team in the first round? He was like the star player of the game.
So that's the thing. That's why Wiggins struggles is hurting right now. The floor is so spread. Like, you're getting those one-on-one matchups because they're doubling Steph. They're sticking to Clay. You need the other guy, the third guy, to take advantage of the one-on-one. Obviously, the best guy they ever had doing it was KD. But they won a championship because guys like Wiggins and Poole took advantage of that. Like, you need a guy who could go get a bucket. With Wiggins like this, it's kind of tough. So they're doing it by committee. But they're figuring out another way to get it done. With you know, the ball movement and Chris Paul, they're getting good play from Moody. I just don't know that works in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, they're going to need it eventually. I'm just
eventually they're going to need it.
For right now, I don't know. That thing looks pretty bad. And even like the 6-foot little runners don't look good. I might just say, you know what, we can win doing with if you do other things. Maybe just don't put so much pressure to do that. I mean, you know, again, he's going to have to make up at some point. But he just looks under so much pressure with these. He just, there's, you know, when he's stepping up to take the open three, do you think he's going to make it? No, I don't think anybody on the team thinks he's going to make
it. I mean, when he's getting the ball one-on-one, do you think he's going to make it?
No.
Like,
those fadeaway, like 15
Yeah, that used to be so money. I wonder if it's like ribs or what was the deal he had last year? Like, maybe ribs, he's not fully
right in the playoffs. Yeah.
Well,
it was so like at the end of the playoffs, too.
Yeah, it was game five. He broke his ribs, basically. Remember LeBron really going at him in game six. He was in some pain in game six of that series. And Marcus, do you remember him walking out of Staples that night? And we were talking to him, and it was like, you know, how bad an injury is this? If this was the regular season, how long would you have to miss? And he was told
six to eight weeks. Yeah, yeah.
Which meant 2 months of his offseason was going to be spent rehabbing the rib injury. So I think I don't think it's
still hurting, but he's still affecting him.
I think
the conditioning
impacted his summer. Yeah.
You can see him. He's got his hands on his hips. It's like 2 minutes into the game, but he is sucking air. He is like, I was like, yo, you just don't see Wiggins do that. But I don't know. I like the fact that he's still aggressive, but to me, it's probably more of that they need to run more pick and rolls because that's where he got going, is being in a dunker spot. Or getting the ball close to the basket and then making a quick decision play.
instead of like, all right, ISO on the wing, I feel like they should probably switch his approach in that way.
He's GP2. Make him GP2. Basically. Right. And I'll stay on the corner and then get to the short corner on the pick and roll and finish. And he's good at that. And obviously GP2 is real good at that. I just think they got, you know, they can give some of those minutes and have given some of those minutes to GP2. They can give and have given those minutes to Kuminga. Like, they've got guys who can do some of that stuff. Last year when he was out, they just didn't have that. And they've got guys like, yeah, you know what? Pajemski for some minutes in there would be interesting. They do get, he's a plus player. Like, every time he comes in, they win +2, +3, +2. I don't exactly know why. He's pretty, you know, handy rebounder. He's pretty tough.
He would tell you, stack wouldn't
when it plays. He does not shoot the ball. He does. I mean, that's, to me, it's still bizarre.
Which is like crazy because, like, remember the scouting report?
Dunley was like, oh yeah, really good.
He hit that floater today, Slater. Yeah, we were like, that one, that's not gonna go in the league. He hit that thing today.
He did it over Jokic too. He also tried to drive right through Jokic once and like went straight backwards. But he's gonna have to shoot three. But he, you know, again, he does interesting stuff. He doesn't turn it over. Like, they have got guys that you can see, okay, just throw them out there. And if Wiggins doesn't have it, some other guys can play those minutes. He didn't close two nights ago, like, and didn't play from the 6:09 mark of the third quarter all the way to the end.
That's, I don't know. I'm giving them minutes to Moody. They all go to Moody.
Well, Moody can hit the three. You know, that's a huge thing.
Moody only played 14 minutes tonight.
Yeah, he didn't.
GP.
Yeah, I thought he would play more. Yeah. I didn't think he looked great, but you know,
the no Draymond, no GP really opens up front court minutes more. Whereas like when Clay didn't play, Moody started when Clay didn't play. But yeah, I don't know.
Moody closed, by the way. He was on the court at the end because he can hit the three. Like, he was there to hit the three.
And
he banked the three in.
The first one broke the drought. It's this still wild to me. They're still, outside of Steph, just one 20-point game. Like, still,
yeah, you know who's season right now is interesting to me. Give me 1 second. I'm going to pull up the stats. Klay Thompson is averaging about 4 less shots per game than last year. He's entered tonight at 13.9. What did he finish tonight?
12. Took 12 shots, 5 for 12.
So it went down. You know, he's shooting like 13.5 shots per game. His shooting percentages are up, or his overall, not his 3-point. And he doesn't have a 20-point game, as you're mentioning. But he's not chasing it either. There's a patient approach to it. I asked him about his shot attempts going down. He was kind of, you know, almost scoffing at the idea of the question, like, we're winning.
This guy who took 18 a game when they had Durant and Curry.
I ain't changing.
Well, I think his shots went up for a little bit there for a while.
That's right. I mean, he almost has the last three times he's played a full regular season, he's 18.1, 17.9, 18.0. So the fact that he's now sitting at like 13.6, it's interesting. I don't think it's even bad. I think it's actually an encouraging sign for them the way he's playing offensively. Like, has there been a game this season where you're like, man, he's chasing, he's chucking? Like, not really.
I think he's moving a little slower, so he's not getting separation as much. I think that might be part of it. But also, yeah, he's not chasing. He's not forcing shots. He's taking tough shots when they have to be taken. He's taking some of those end-of-clock shots, and he's pretty good at those. So I like him and Paul together. I just think that kind of works. I think their two-man net rating's very good, at least the last ones I checked. I think Klay kind of with that, he plays that second half of the second unit minutes. They started out with Moody, however, and they get Klay in to start the second quarter, start the fourth quarter. So that's the 4-minute kind of rest time for Steph there, as that second unit is kind of winding down. I kind of like that. You kind of like, I think they got kind of an old head thing going on together.
Well, it's traditional point guard, exactly. Right? He gets Klay Thompson the ball in the shooting pocket, probably like laces right where they need to be, right? That type of thing. So,
yeah, and I just think that it's a little slow. Like, that's a slow group, but that's okay. They can slow it down. And then, you got an extra shooter out there. I think that second unit can use an extra shooter sometimes, and certainly Klay's one. And I just think it could be a nice kind of weapon that Kerr throws at people You know, you got Steph coming off. All right, we're going to have Chris Paul and Klay Thompson on you, and you're going to have to still going to have to guard all that stuff. And you're, you know, Klay's going to be running around, and Chris Paul might beat you from the mid range. I just like, I like that kind of change up.
Yeah, it's how they always did it too, right? Remember, it was a matter of getting, like, it was either going to be KD or Steph with the second unit or Klay. Like, it's always been, you know, it's not the hockey sub, so to speak. Yep. And, and if you're counting Chris Paul as, you know, the, one of the stars, I do think it helps to have one of those other players out there, especially if, like, Sarge is not going to make his shots. Like, you kind of need that other floor spacer. But yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like Klay needs a dub. I feel like he's got to start chasing him. Like,
he probably will at some point. Now that Slater's brought it up, now it's like, you know, oh, wait a minute. Now
I mean, if you're watching Wiggins like scuffling right like crazy, and you know, Kuminga, it's just something about his handle that's just not like. I like the shots he's taking. I just don't like how he's taking them. It's just not as confident.
And he does that spin thing that NBA players can guard, right? They know it's coming.
Yeah, and then he's like fading instead of going straight up. Like, it's like, I just feel like, yeah, Klay's just got a better chance of scoring than those guys. Like, probably. So I don't know. I was like, hey, I feel like Klay should get more shots. Probably less, you know, chucking threes and get to the mid range, get to your spots. It should, I mean, even some of them CP shots, like, you want them taking them, but he's not shooting the ball well. It's like they got too many guys who you need to score and not shooting the ball well for Klay to just have 12 shots. It feels like you got to get Klay more.
Because that starting point guard's taking all the shots. He's just hogging the ball all the time. So
he only has 17. It's not like he took a lot.
Yeah. The other nights he's had a few more. You know, I think it'll be an ebb and flow to it. And I think he's going to shoot more. I think
somebody else needs a big game besides Dario Saric.
Wiggins. It's supposed to be Wiggins, but
was it OKC? When he hit 21?
Okay, yeah, he just hit like four threes in the first half. Yeah, I agree. I think Kuminga is I would also put on that list.
Yeah, I think Kuminga's.
I think he's taking the shots for it. He just.
Yeah, he'll take it. He's getting to the line. He was passing up some threes lately. Then he hit one tonight.
He played very under control tonight. He made some good decisions. He was taking his time. He gave the ball up, got it back. Like, he was very.
That's why I kind of thought he should have been rewarded with closing, but whatever. I mean, Klay averaged 20 last year, so the fact that he hasn't scored 20 yet is kind of surprising.
He'll have one of those where he hits five threes, and you know, it'll be one of those. But we shall see. You know, the Chris Paul thing might have kind of juggered things a little bit, where everyone's kind of trying to figure out exactly where rotation is and where the minutes are, where the shots are, but. I think he's fine, and I think, you know, they're figuring out some units. We're seeing what the rotation is, and Kerr's pretty much stuck to it. Like, ever since, you know, Draymond coming out tonight is different, but ever since Draymond got back into the starting lineup and Chris Paul went to the bench, they kind of been pretty consistent with this rotation, and I think guys like that. They understand their roles, and then you see some guys growing within it, and that's Trayce Jackson-Davis for sure. It's just, you know, they got in kind of a pecking order that's feels kind of aligned up pretty well for the rest of the season.
Any other subjects before we get out of here?
What are the Warriors shooting at home
from three? I mean, they've only played two home games.
Yeah, they didn't shoot well.
Phoenix, that's for sure.
It was opening night, and then they didn't play that well against Sacramento. So
I know there's a lot of talk about 28.4% from three at home is what they're shooting. And the
Hearst Chase Center.
I know there's a lot of talk about, hey, been on the road for seven games, but these home games aren't easy wins.
It's, you're right.
Like Cleveland.
Revenge game against Cleveland. Revenge game.
But Cleveland's defense, the way they protect the paint, basically forces you to make a bunch of threes. Like, if you're the Warriors, you know? So it's like they got to make threes. Minnesota's playing really well.
Minnesota has beaten Denver and the Celtics.
And that similar thing. Lots of rim protection. They've got Jade McDaniels, you know, somebody to throw at Steph, and they got Like, it could be tough. Like, I know people are thinking, just go home, and now you 8-8. You know, it won't be 8-0 on this homestand, or at least I would be shocked if it's 8-0.
They're playing eight straight home games.
What is it?
No, what happened?
Six straight, but it's 8 of 10.
Okay. Yes,
I think Trace Jackson Davis is going to play some minutes. Is what I think. Like, these bigger teams, these teams where you need cutters, you know, you draw the big man on with a drive and you want to dish it off to somebody who can finish. Trace Jackson Davis can finish. Like, you know, like, if Sarge is not hitting the three, even if he is, you can play him with Trace Jackson Davis. It's like, I am liking that option for the Warriors, and especially against some of the bigger teams. I don't think he's going to finish over Evan Mobley or Rudy Gobert, but while Steph pulls him away, there's your finisher. We know other guys can do it, but I just see him fitting in these big games. I really do.
All right, fellas.
Slater, you got to go. You look beat up to hell. So let's get.
I still need to write.
You got to write. So got to.
Don't call it a road trip quite yet.
You'll get through it. Marcus and I are.
I ain't complaining.
Man in the homestead. So all good. We'll see you when you're back here.
Yep. All right, guys. You good?
All good.
We will talk to you sometime over the weekend, maybe Monday, after an interesting back-to-back.
Oh, no all 82 this weekend? Come on, you got two games.
It's crushed. There's football games on Sundays.
That's what I figured.
Marcus might know him. I don't know. But
it's in Jacksonville.
Marcus likes those doubleheaders. So.
You want me to do an all 82 with the cement wall right here? I need somebody to bounce an idea on.
All right.
Who they got Sunday again? Timberwolves?
Timberwolves.
Maybe if John Krasinski's in the building.
There you go. All good.
Although he might be on the Vikings game.
It's NFL.
Vikings are
NFL,
hot.
Baby. All right. We'll figure it out.
All right. Joe.
Maybe the Dolphins might beat a good team. Maybe. I don't know.
Not lose by, they gotta not buy lose by 14. Week,
yeah, that's it.
All right. You know what? Good. Bring it. I like this.
Oklahoma State, Bedlam.
Yeah, awesome.
There you go.
All right, we will talk to y'all at some point.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.